You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to another edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete's over at the Door County Film Festival tonight, so we're going to listen to some of his most interesting recent interviews. Here's Hudson Hensley, a young actor from the movie Song Sung Blue.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you here. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Is that your favorite Neil Diamond song, Aaron?
I don't know. It's just one that I know was in the movie.
They're all fantastic. He is talking about, of course, the movie Song Sung Blue. And I'm very excited. My next guest is one of the stars of that hit movie. And he plays Dana, the son of Kate Hudson and stepson of Hugh Jackman's characters. It is my pleasure to welcome actor Hudson Hensley. Hey, Hudson, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You look very presentable. That is an outstanding, smart-looking sweater. I love it,
thank
buddy.
You.
Thanks for making the effort.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Love the movie. It was so much fun to watch. We'll get to that in just a moment. How are you doing tonight? Are you in a good mood? Are you? Where are
I'm
you joining
wonderful.
Us from?
I'm joining you from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, outstanding. Beautiful city.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is that a good place for an actor to live and be based
on? Yeah, it's okay. Wonderful, especially for music. It's a great city for music.
Are you a musician too?
Yes, I've been playing piano for 9 years. So
you know what? Yeah. I took piano lessons for a couple of years when I was a kid, and I'm so glad I quit. That's not true. No one has ever said that, Hudson. I regret quitting because it's such
really?
A great instrument. I bet you're pretty good at it. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So our question every night, Hudson, we do a question of the day. And tonight's question is, at least up here in Wisconsin, it's cold, it's winter, and yesterday was National Soup Day. Mm-hmm. So my question is, what is your favorite winter soup, if you have one?
My favorite winter soup? I would have to say chicken noodle soup. I love chicken noodle soup.
You cannot go wrong with chicken noodle soup.
You cannot go wrong.
Excellent choice, my friend.
Like a classic Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
It's yeah. Great. Oh, that's outstanding. I love it. All right, so... You know, you're part of this great movie. You seem like you're kind of starting out in your career. I know you've done some other stuff, too. You're obviously a musician. That's exciting. But what was your experience like on Song Sung Blue?
It was just so amazing. I got to work with the biggest names in the industry. You know,
yeah.
Hugh Jackman, Kate Hudson, Jim Belushi, Ella Anderson, who I grew up watching in Henry Danger. That was my kind of childhood TV show. Yeah, it was just such a great experience. I got to be around so many really nice people, and yeah. I just loved every second of it.
I can't even imagine. I have a weird story. When I was in college in Chicago, I worked at a kids' club. I was just starting out my own career. And I was the coach of Jim Belushi's kid, Robert. He was part of the kids' club. And I actually remember talking to Jim Belushi a little bit. And I got such a kick out of the guy. Was
He's
fun
such a funny guy. He's such a funny guy. He just walks into the room. And then in 1 minute, I'm not even exaggerating, the whole room's just laughing their butts off. It's crazy.
How did, like, is he like that? Is he pulling pranks? Is he just making wisecracks? What's his
style
on
the set? He's making jokes. He's making cracks. He's doing everything.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's doing everything. And he's just so fun to be around. He's, you know, he's so fun. He's so charismatic. And he's really got some, also, like, great stories.
I bet.
And, yeah, he's a great guy.
You also worked with, there was Fisher Stevens, who's another great Chicago stage actor and done some good things. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos. Was it like, you must have been like wide-eyed on the set, getting to work with all, not to mention Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman. I mean, did everybody get along?
Yeah, everybody got along great. The chemistry of the cast was unbelievable. And it's just, I was so starstruck. The first time I saw Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman, they came up to me and they were like, hi. And I just stared at them for a solid like 30 seconds. I didn't say anything. Just air was coming out, like no words.
That is so fun.
I was so starstruck. But then once I got to know them, they were so unbelievably kind to me. they really just took me under their wing, gave me some advice, and just acted like my step parents, which was great.
That's so great. Did they teach you things? Like they've both been around for so long and they've had great careers and they're so talented. Who did you like to watch the most, and what did you learn from any of these actors?
Well, I like to watch all of them. It was really a gift to see them in their element. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Putting together this art part project, you can think of it as.
Yeah.
Just all of them contributing, and to see now the final product on big screens everywhere. It's just so awesome. Yeah, everybody was so nice to me. I mean, Hugh Jackman, you know, taught me that, like, everybody, you know, like, trust yourself, trust your gut instinct. Don't let anybody, like, take advantage of you, which I thought was great advice. And Kate Hudson just told me to, you know, stick to what you love doing. Just always, if you don't like acting, if you end up don't like acting, don't do acting. Do what you absolutely love.
Right.
Because that's what's going to, like, get you places, which I thought was really cool.
That's a great answer. And it's so great that, like, they can teach you things about the craft of acting, but also about the business side of it, too. Like, trust your instincts, like you just said, and stuff like that. Like, that kind of advice is invaluable, I would imagine, to a young actor like yourself.
For sure. For sure.
So this was your first big movie credit. Tell us a little bit about what you were thinking, what you felt like, Hudson, when you got the news that you were in the movie, that you got the part.
I kid you not. My parents came home. My mom and dad were actually, like, getting lunch with, like, some of their friends. And then they came home. My mom got the email and she was like, "You got the part." And I just started running around the house, doing laps, running down the hallway. And I kept on saying repeatedly, "This is not real. This is not real." And for a solid, like, 30 minutes, too, I was screaming. And then finally, I was like, "Wait, is this actually real? Are you guys actually 1,000% serious?" And they were like, "Yes." They kept on telling me, "Yes, Hudson, yes." And I only started to really believe it when I got on that flight to New Jersey to act, and then I actually met them. Because I was like, this cannot be happening to me. This has always been my dream to be on a major movie set, and now I finally get to do that. And I was just in awe of everything. I still don't think it's 100% real, but, you know, it's
okay. First of all, that would be like, those would be the worst parents ever if they played that kind of joke on you. You would have probably...
No, my parents are the best. I love my parents.
Well, I'm sure they're obviously very supportive, and to put you where you are and put you in a position, they've got to be like, were they support? Like, when did you first tell them, Hudson, that this is what you wanted to do?
At the age of 5, I saw Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible, the first Mission Impossible. After that movie, I ran to my parents' bedroom and I said, "Mom, I want to be an actor. Dad, I want to be an actor." And I've been in love with it ever since. And they've really supported my dream through and through. And, you know, they've been unbelievably supportive to me, and I just love them so much.
That's outstanding. My guest is Hudson Henley. He plays Dana in Song Song Blue, the stepchild of Hugh Jackman, and Kate Hudson's son. And I want to talk to you, I'm going to ask you in a minute about the final scene, your final scene, but were you familiar, Hudson, with Hugh Grant or Kate Hudson, like, before you got to the set? Did you know their work?
For sure, yeah. Okay. Hugh Jackman's work, you know, obviously, I've seen Wolverine, I've seen all of his Marvel movies, but I've also seen The Greatest Showman and a bunch of other of his movies. And I was like, Hugh Jackman's, like, he's the best of both worlds. He does Broadway, but he also does acting. And I was, he does acting in both, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
sure.
Screen acting. So I was like, that's my dream. If I ever want to become an actor, well, I mean, I obviously wanted to become an actor, but if I achieve that dream, then I definitely want to become Hugh Jackman. And then Kate Hudson, I was definitely familiar with as well. I love the, I absolutely love the movie Almost Famous. That's one of my favorite
great
movies.
Great movie. Totally
it's a great
agree.
Movie.
Yeah.
You know, I love music from the 70s and like 60s. Nice. So that was, that was a really cool movie. I was, and my mom absolutely loves, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. So I was like, yeah, that's really cool. And I was like, so on in the, get this, the premiere, I got to meet the one and only Goldie Hawn at the premiere of the movie. I was like,
oh my God.
Excuse
gosh.
Me. This is, I was like, I don't even believe this.
I have this to be honest with you. Yeah, she's an icon. Kurt Russell's an icon.
Oh yeah, for
but,
sure.
But I will say, and this is just my opinion, Hudson, that I think Kate, she's surpassed them. She is so good.
Yeah, honestly,
well, she
yes.
was great and Almost Famous, like you said, but in Song Sung Blue, she's Oscar nominated. Obviously, you're pulling for her. What do you think her chances are?
I think, well, I obviously am a little biased,
yeah.
but I think that she has a solid chance.
I agree. I hope she wins.
I really do. I do too. Sorry. I really do too. I think she has like a... like an 80% chance of winning because she is so good. I don't know. I don't want to spoil the movie, but the way she handles the accident and the way she the way she acts like that, it gives me chills. It's giving me chills.
Yeah,
she was spectacular. She was
great.
So amazing.
No question about that, and very well said. I want to ask you. Before we get to a break, I want to tell you this, and I was not expecting this to be the case. So when someone from your team reached out to me to have you on the show, I was thrilled because I had just seen the movie. I was kind of late to the party. My favorite shot or my favorite scene in the whole film is when you're watching the video of Mike or Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That is such a sweet scene, and you were so natural in it. How were
you,
coached, or is that your natural talent? Obviously, it's collaborative, and you were directed and all that kind of stuff, but what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you thought, I have to approach this scene? How am I going to do this? What was on your mind?
I'm a bit of a method actor, so
okay.
I was kind of imagining that was actually my dad, and
oh my
I just got really emotional inside, but... I wanted to show, not tell. So I didn't want to I wasn't going to cry. I wasn't going to be like, oh my gosh, but I was going to feel it. So, and then actors do this a lot. So they feel something and they don't realize what's happening with their face. They don't try to make anything happen with their face, but they really feel it deeply.
Right.
And then it comes out as very natural, which you actually do in real life. So that's what I was kind of doing in that scene.
Well, it totally worked, and you just, I mean, you were good through the whole movie, but that
Thank you.
Is my favorite scene in the whole film, and it was just very, very well done. And that, to me, Hudson, that is going to be the scene where, like I said, you were really good, you got great stuff for your reel through the whole movie, but that scene is where people are going to go get that kid from Song Sung Blue. Like, honest to God, I just think it put you on another level, so very well done. And Kate Hudson was a good pretend mom. We've established that. So
she was a great set mom. She actually gave me a blanket at the end of when we wrapped. She gave me a blanket with lightning bolts on it, which
is right.
great.
Hudson Headley is here from Song Sung Blue. He plays Dana, and he is outstanding in it. We're going to do a very short break, and then we will come back and have a few more minutes left with our new pal, Hudson Headley, tremendous little actor. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I got a song been on my mind. And the tune, give me some, and the words all rhyme.
So great. that is Hugh Jackman. That is Hugh Jackman, right, Aaron? That's not the
yes.
real Neil. Okay. Hudson Hill. Okay, great. That was so great. The great thing about this film, folks, welcome back, by the way. My name is Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. We're talking about the film Song Sung Blue with one of the main actors in the film, Hudson Hensley, is my guest here. I called you Henley earlier. I apologize for that, Hudson. But you will forget, like, some of the music in this movie I had forgotten about. Like, the music is so fun. Did you know about Neil Diamond before you were in the film?
Of course. Everybody okay. knows Neil Diamond. I love Neil Diamond. Especially, you know, Crunchy Granola Sweet. I discovered way more of his music when I, like,
yeah.
dove into his music. Of course, because the movie's about a Neil Diamond tribute band. And, yeah, I just realized, I was like, Neil Diamond has some really, really good, songs, you know, besides Sweet Caroline and all of those.
Oh, yeah.
And all of his popular songs. I was like, he really has a song for, like, every mood, every occasion, really.
Very well said. That's great. So you are an award-winning actor. You've already won, like, 2 Best Actor awards at film festivals. You've got another film coming out, Hudson, called The Wild Man of Shaggy Creek, where you play the lead role. What was your experience like in that film? Was that more pressure playing the lead, or how did you adjust to that?
Oh, it was my first ever movie. So
I
didn't know anything coming into filming. And I would say it's a great experience because it was actually shot. It was a great first experience, rather, because it was shot in Nashville. So I got to go home to my own bed, you know, my dogs and all that stuff. But yeah, it was mainly kids on set, which was nice to, like, ease me into it and not just be, like, only adults in my first movie. So, you know, I got acclimated to the industry a little bit, and I learned so much. And, you know, everybody was really nice to me, kind to me, and yeah, I loved it.
Well, it's very impressive. My guest is Hudson Hensley. You know, for you to get a part in a major film like this at your age without many credits, you must have crushed the audition. I mean, how was that process? Are you a good auditioner? Did you get nervous? Tell us about it.
I would say so myself, but it's a self-tape audition. So you don't, so it's not with the director. It's not with the casting director. You get to do as many takes. I think I did like at least 20 takes with the actual audition that I sent in. So yeah, you go and you film yourself with, you know, your ring light, and then you got your phone and you got a blank background, and then you do the lines that they give you. And then you send the audition in, and then I didn't hear back for like 3 months. And then they were like, you're still being considered. We'd like to call you back.
Oh, nice.
And so then I got on a Zoom with them, and then I performed my lines live with the director, the casting director. And yeah, and then they didn't call me back for another 3 months.
Oh, man.
And then in like October of 2024, they were like, okay, we need you to be in New Jersey in a week. And they called my mom and they were like, you need to be in New Jersey with Hudson in a week. And she was like, excuse me, what? And then they had to explain to her that was for the movie. And I was like, okay, I am not getting that audit. I am not getting that role because it's been 3 months. They haven't said anything to me. I'm like, okay, I'll move on. Maybe I'll get the next audition. So, and
that
then
is...
I was... And then
ahead,
I was
sorry.
In the middle of filming The Wild Man of Shaggy Creek when they called my mom. So luckily, it lined up perfectly with the ending. Man. So I had 1 day in between to pack for Song Sung Blue and then to get flown to New Jersey for 3 months to shoot the movie.
Man, what a great story. Thank you for letting us live vicariously through you. This is so fun to hear this. Hey, we have about a minute left, Hudson, and thank you for your time. I hope this leads to so much work for you and your career just takes off.
Thank you.
What are you, I ask a lot of my guests this because I love to talk about color television. What are you watching? Are you binge watching anything?
Yes, I'm actually in the middle of watching Suits.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's
I
a
just
good show.
Discovered that on Netflix. I was like, okay, I just finished another, I just finished my, just finished a bunch of movies. I haven't watched a TV show in a while. Okay, let me see what's on Netflix. And then I'm like, okay, Suits pops up. And I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a try. And then I watched the pilot and I'm like, okay, I'm hooked now. So now I'm on season 3.
Oh, and you've got so many seasons to watch. I love finding a show when it's like, oh my God, there's 11 seasons. Yeah. This is going to be fantastic.
There's 9 seasons in Suits and I'm like, let's go.
Well, you've earned a little TV time. Keep up the great work. Break a leg in all your future endeavors. And please come back and talk to us sometime when you're the new Tom Cruise and doing all the new Mission Impossible movies. That would be a lot of fun. So it's been great chatting with you and getting to know you. And keep up the great work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That's Hudson Hensley, folks. A really, really solid young actor who just crushed his role in Song Sung Blue. And I am sure we're going to see a lot more of him in the future. What I was thinking, Aaron, with the Henley. Maybe I was thinking of Don Henley?
Maybe. I wouldn't be one to say.
You wouldn't know. That was really fun. Check out, folks, Song Sung Blue, a great movie. And, you know, I said this before, it only matters to people here in Wisconsin. But it would have been fun if the film was actually shot in Milwaukee, Mike and Claire's hometown. But to be honest, regardless of that, it's a really fun movie with tons of charm, tons of heart. And obviously great music, and as I've witnessed firsthand, really great acting with Hugh Jackman, Kate Hudson, and Hudson Hensley.
Up next on Nightlight, Pete's conversation with Madison-based filmmaker John Roach on his very moving film, A Road at Night. Stay tuned. I saw her face, now I'm a believer, not a trace. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete's gone at the Door County Film Festival tonight, so we're going to listen to his conversation with filmmaker John Roach about his movie, A Road at Night. Enjoy.
Welcome back. Is my mic on, Con?
Yeah.
All right. People heard me say welcome back?
Yes.
I don't want to be rude. All right. We have John Roach will be along momentarily, folks. We were in the middle of a phone call before we were rudely interrupted by the news. But Richard from Waukesha was telling us about a woman in Minnesota who saves people and how it relates to his coffee mug collection. Richard, please continue. We've got about a minute or so.
Okay. Well, it's still on the shelf. It was a toss up between that cup and another cup. And I took the other cup, but this story is so interesting, it had such a great story. It sounded like a nightingale, you know, like a kind of story, and it's a fact. And the state of Minnesota honored her.
Wow!
And she did this most of her life. They talk like she should have been like a Olympic canoe paddler, so talented. Yeah. And she got the nickname the Root Beer Lady.
That's interesting.
It was so interesting. And then the other cup that I purchased, now this is the name of a band it's got on it. And I'm wondering, it's pretty long back. I was real little. And I'm trying to figure if it's the one I saw a couple times. The Showmen are the Legends.
Yeah.
There was the Showmen, the Legends, and the Fendermen.
Huh.
I'm trying to figure out which one is the one that, you know, was pretty famous. And when I was really little, I saw them at what they had years back was the Sentinel Sports Show.
Okay.
And this group performed. And whatever way, I like the caption of the cup.
Yeah.
On each side, it says, I used to work with the Legends.
Oh, that's awesome. And coffee mugs
reminded me of.
Yeah, they're a great thing to collect, too. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
My goal in life is always to have a cool enough nickname that it fits on a coffee mug and could be part of your collection.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different ones, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's
awesome. So I got a little collection, you know, some New York, live at New York, and, you know, this and that. And I got a couple soup bowls. You know, you want the soup, right?
Absolutely. Who doesn't like soup?
No soup for you.
The soup Nazi, yeah.
Live from New York. So there you go.
That's
awesome. I'm curious about this woman.
Yeah, maybe Con, Google,
yep.
The root beer lady. All right. Yep. Thank you for the call, my friend. You have a great night, Richard. Always fun to talk to you, buddy.
Too.
Okay, thank you very much. I do really, I've never had a cool nickname.
Her name, the root beer lady, her name was Dorothy Moulter.
Okay. And that's why she changed it to the root beer lady?
Yeah, it just has Moulter's a better name. Ring to it, I think.
Better than Schwabba. All right, we are going to turn our attention to our next guest, folks. I am always excited when this gentleman is on the show because he is an extremely talented guy. He's got an incredible resume with so many different credits and different genres, and he's sort of a master of all trades, jack of none, if that makes any kind of sense. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight, Mr. John Roach. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Pete. It's jack of all trades, master of none, I think.
No. You reversed it, man. You turned that on its ear.
Yeah. How are you?
Well, John does not take well to compliments, as you can see, folks. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good. We're excited about the premiere of A Road at Night. You know, you're a film guy. To get yeah. a theatrical run at Marcus Theaters with a small indie film locally produced is unusual.
Yeah.
But we've got a great coalition of people who've jumped in to help us. And so we open, there's a premiere gala on Thursday night, the 12th, which is kind of an elevated ticket price, unabashedly a fundraiser for the Moore family. And then it opens for the general public on Friday, February 13th, and runs through the 19th. And if we have a strong opening weekend, it's a good shot. We'll extend the run.
That's awesome. All right. Let's get into all that. But first, for people who aren't familiar with A, your film, and B, the Moore family or Howard Moore, tell us who Howard Moore was, John, and then we'll get into the film, please.
Well, Howard Moore still is. Howard was a schoolboy basketball player at Taft in Chicago, and it was during the golden era of Chicago schoolboy basketball. Mark Aguirre, Juwan Howard, three of the Fab Five, Michael Finley, Tracy Webster. At any rate, Howard was recruited heavily by Northwestern, but made his visit to Madison and opted to go there. So this is in the early 90s, late 80s, yeah. early 90s at Wisconsin. And Howard became a Pied Piper after Mike Finley signed with the Badgers and came up here, and then Rashard Griffith. And they eventually became the first Badger team in 47 years to make the NCAA tournament. And as Tom Oates says in former sports columnist for the State Journal in Madison, he says that is the team that took the lid off and led to really consistent success through the years. And then Howard came back, and after he graduated, he became a coach under Bo Ryan, assistant coach. So he coached, he recruited Frank Kaminsky, Coach John Luehr, some of the great names in Wisconsin basketball. But most importantly, Pete, he was a guy, as was his wife, Jennifer. He's beloved. He only scored 99 points in his career at Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, as Tom Oates says, no one who scored 99 points had a greater effect on the program than
so great
than Howard. Sadly, while he was coaching, he left to be the head coach for University of Chicago, IC in Chicago, University of Illinois, IC, and then he came back to the Badgers as an assistant for Greg Gard when Bo Ryan left. And in May of 2019, he and his wife Jennifer, their daughter Jaden, their son Jarrell, got in the car. You know, coaches get Memorial Day weekend off. There's no recruiting. So they drive to Chicago to visit Howard's parents. And then they decide to leave late at night to avoid the traffic to visit, to go to Detroit, Jennifer's hometown, to visit her mother. And somewhere outside Ann Arbor, Michigan, at around 2:30 in the morning, they were hit head on by a drunk driver going the wrong way on the interstate. And it's public record, Jennifer and Jaden were killed. Jarrell, who was only 12 at the time, was able to get his dad out of the car. Howard had third-degree burns over a third of his body, the upper part of his body. And the story is really about how this band of brothers, these guys who played ball together, banded together again to help Howard and his son. It's about love and loss and hope and the undying bonds of teammates.
That's a great description. And I've seen the film, folks. It is outstanding. And my only regret, John, is that I haven't been able to see it with an audience. I missed the screening you guys did at the Barrymore at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yeah, come on down.
Because I had another screening that night, and I'm going to be at the, I've already committed to the Door County Film Festival next week, but
right.
I am determined to see this film with an audience because I've heard that, like, collectively and the community exists on the screen and off the screen when people see the film. It's really just an incredible work. So congrats on finishing it. Congrats on the premiere. And tell us now, okay, so you've got this premiere Friday, February 13th at Marcus Point Cinema in Madison.
Well, we have a private kind of gala fundraiser for the Moore family on Thursday night where tickets are $225. Greg Gard, some of the basketball team members will be there. And, you know, other stars in the athletic firmament. And then Friday night's open to the public. We have panels every night for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday night is really a gathering of the basketball community who knows Howard. And then Friday night, it's a filmmakers panel. Myself, Joe Fung, my DP and editor who played such an important role. Doug Moe is going to be doing the Q&A. And Jarrell Moore is going to join us, Howard's son, who's now a sophomore in college at Edgewood University. And then Saturday is another kind of basketball interview with more basketball luminaries coming. Some haven't been announced yet, but there's some pretty big names. And then Sunday, very interestingly, you saw the film, and we didn't plan on doing this, but we dealt with the issue of faith. Howard and his family are people of great faith, faith I admire. I don't necessarily have that level of faith. Perhaps I wish I did. I had 12 years of Catholic education, so I'm not uneducated.
16 but, here, John.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
There you go. So, but I was just moved by the faith that the Moores have and some of Howard's teammates. And two of Howard's pastors were interview subjects on the doc, and they were powerful. And so when something like this happens, it's not unusual for people to say why. As many people said, this is the last family that anything bad should have happened. They're active in the charitable community. Howard had a foundation. No one deserves it, but they deserved it even less. And you have to ask yourself why. And so we delved into that issue with his two pastors, as well as his teammates, coaches, because everyone asks that question of themselves. Why do bad things happen to good people? And so we took on that question. And so the panel on Sunday is with one of Howard's pastors and myself, just because it's such an interesting editorial topic, because we didn't set out to include that in the doc. That, you know, doing a doc is, you're peeling the onion, right? It's an exercise in discovery. And it was very difficult to tell this story without dealing with the Moore's faith.
John Roach is my guest. He is the director and filmmaker behind A Road at Night, which you can see the weekend of February 12th, 13th, 14th. The first night is a fundraiser for the Moore family, which the film is tells their story. It's a great film. I've seen it. On the stream, we've got a text, John. Kurt Krause, who is one of the organizers of the Door County Film Festival, says, sounds like a very powerful film, John Roach. I hope to catch one of the Marcus screenings. So it would be great if you guys...
We'd love to see it.
Yeah, it would be great if you guys did get some kind of run, because I think more people should see this. You know, John, as much as I got to know Howard and his family through your film, it's also makes you so proud to be part of the UW community. You know, I've never lived in Madison. I didn't go to University of Wisconsin, but I love when, you know, the coaches are telling the stories and the players and even the ones that had come and gone, like Stan Van Gundy, you have a great,
right.
You know, he said, yeah. He said, Jarrell came up to him and said, coach, and he called Stan Van Gundy coach and talking about his dad. There's so many beautiful moments in this film like that. John, we have to do a really short break and we are coming right back. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal, John Roach, the director of A Road at Night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Our question of the night is, what is the best slow dance song? What is the best song to slow dance to? Let's ask our guest before we get back into the meat of this interview. John Roach, who is here. He is the filmmaker behind A Road at Night. John, Anna from Madison says, I always enjoy hearing John Roach on your show. I still miss his back page column in Madison Magazine. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I did that for 30 years, Pete.
Oh, no way.
A monthly column. I used to have an occasional beer with Doug Moe, who was the editor of Madison Magazine. There were about, you know, six or seven guys who would always gather there and kind of our Algonquin round table.
That's great.
Midwest style. And Doug, I was, you know, holding forth on something not unusual. And Doug said, why don't you shut up and write about it for me? And I saw, okay. So I did a column and I just kept doing them. So turned into a 30-year run, which was, you know, as a writer, Pete, as you are, it's really a good exercise to write for public consumption every month.
I would imagine. You know,
effectively
so,
yeah. An essay, right?
Yeah. That's
and
great.
And it helps you find a voice.
Yeah, for sure. And Anna is a big fan and, you know, just a food
Thank
for thought.
You, Anna.
Maybe you take it up again, John. I don't know. Do you have a favorite slow dance song, John? One maybe you danced with
Well,
your
first
wife
of all,
too,
Cast Adrift on Memory is tremendous.
Cast Adrift on Memory.
Actually, for the film, that is of the era of Howard Moore and his teammates at the university.
Oh.
My son's a singer-songwriter in Los Angeles, and he and two of his compatriots compose the score for the film.
Oh, nice.
Which is really gratifying. My son, JT Roach.
I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, and it's so satisfying at this stage of my career to work with my son, and my brother worked on it. So it was really satisfying, but they did a wonderful job. But one of the things I asked him is, I said, can you do a little, like, you know, Cast Adrift on Memory-ish cut here? Because it just so much of that era.
Yeah,
but in terms of slow dances, I think your most formative slow dances are when you're just learning about girls, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm dating myself now. But two of that I like were Because by the Dave Clark Five and Ferry Cross the Mersey by Jerry and the Pacemakers, which they were both British invasion bands in company with the Beatles.
Those are great. And I just want to say, I'm still learning about girls. And sadly, there are nights I date myself. So I can relate
yes,
to everything
no.
you just said there.
Yes,
John.
I think Jackson Brown wrote a song about that.
Mine was How Deep Is Your Love and Always on My Mind. So there's so many great ones to list. But
well, also, you can't miss with the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh.
They're
I mean,
wonderful.
We've heard, you know, several people have chosen that song. John, we just have a few more minutes. I love this movie. I hope everybody goes to see it. What are you documentary filmmakers don't do this for the money. What was your goal when you set out to make this film?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, this was a passion, you know, project. But there is a very specific goal, and that's to raise money for the Moore family. All the box office receipts go to the Moores.
Love it.
The film was financed by George Hamill, who's a great Wisconsin grad. Tim Valentine's an exec producer. A whole bunch of people with Wisconsin connections came together. Sean Hanisch, Kelly Call from Wisconsin grads who have Cannonball, and they, you know, made some distribution headway with their films. So they just jumped in and said, we want to be on Team Moore and get you into a Marcus run as well. And so we're so grateful to them. But, you know, Pete, I think you know from my past, I mean, I did, you know, a David Lynch film, but I've also dabbled in sports stuff.
Yeah.
Did the sports writers on TV back in Chicago, back in the 90s and aughts. And I've always felt that sports is at its best when it transcends sports, when it's kind of a jumping off point to look at a bigger picture, right?
Agreed.
And this is not a basketball documentary at all. It's the stage upon which the story is played out, however. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sports are inherently dramatic. That's why they're popular, right?
Yeah.
And there's art, there's grace and beauty, there's tension, there's drama, there's violence at times, you know,
sure.
There's action. And so there are things in sports that appeal to me from a storytelling standpoint. And so as soon as Tim and George approached me on this, my first thought was, it's not a 6-minute video. This is a documentary. It also came when the genre was really blowing up during COVID, because we've worked on this project for 4 years.
Yeah.
So it really, you know, began just as we were coming out of COVID. And I just felt comfortable telling the story, honestly. I grew up within 5 blocks of Camp Randall and the old field house.
Yeah.
My dad played baseball at Wisconsin. I went to Wisconsin. My wife went to Wisconsin. My kids went to Wisconsin. And so, and I know Bo Ryan and Greg Gard socially. So I understood the culture. And also, I was in Chicago for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I knew the environment that Howard and Michael Finley, Tracy Webster, Richard, I knew that Chicago that they came out of. So it was just very intriguing to me.
John, this has been so much fun. I'm one of these days over a beer, we'll have to talk. I followed Chicago hoops too, the King, Marcus Liberty days, and Simeon and all that.
Oh my God, absolutely.
We'll have a great
Marcus Liberty was almost in the dock.
Oh, nice. But I want to say, when I met John, you talked about your days in Chicago, and I thought, oh yeah, he's totally a Chicago guy. Then later in our friendship, like 2 months, I found out you were born and raised in Madison. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. He's such a Madison guy. You're just a guy and you're an awesome guy. City is regardless. Thank you for being on the show and best of luck with
Pete,
the screening.
Always great talking to you. And yeah, we have to have that beer.
We'll do it. I'll be there in March.
When you're in Madtown.
You got it.
Okay.
We'll definitely do it.
Thanks for your support.
Always.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. John Roach, folks. We'll keep you posted too, ladies and gentlemen, on streaming information as that becomes available for A Road at Night. But if you're in the Madison area, definitely check it out.
Coming up in Act 2 of Nightlight tonight, ice cream, the popcorn pick of the week, and our favorite annoying songs. Stick around.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.